Good morning, everyone. It's great to have the opportunity to be with you again this morning and to open God's Word. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Hosea. I will give you a few moments to find that, the book of Hosea. We're going to be in chapter 10 this morning, reading a couple of verses. Hosea chapter 10, we're going to be in verses number 12 and 13. When you arrive there, would you all stand as we honor the reading of God's Word? Hosea chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Hosea writes these words: "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed in wickedness, and you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your mighty men." Let's pray again. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here to open your word. God, I ask now that you would clear our hearts, our thoughts and our minds of the cares of the week, of the things that are coming up in the week to come. God, may you help us to focus on you, Father. May we hear from your word. Lord, speak through me. Father, and I just pray that I would honor you with the things that I say. Father, may our hearts be drawn closer to you by what we hear this morning. May your spirit have free reign. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Michael Catt is a pastor in Georgia. And in 2010, he wrote a book called The Power of Surrender. And in that book, The Power of Surrender, he said this: "It's time that we woke up to the fact that judgment begins at the church house and not at the White House. If it doesn't begin soon at the church house, we're going to be in the outhouse." He wrote that 11 years ago. I think it is even more pertinent now than it probably was then. Let me ask a question for you this morning. I pose this question: why should we expect God to bless us and to bless our government when the hearts of church people are so far from God? Think about that for a minute. Why should we expect God to bless us? I was having a conversation with a gentleman this week, and he was talking about the United States and where we were and different things. And I looked at him and I said, "Why do you think God should bless us?" He said, "Because we're one nation under God." I said, "No, we're not. No, we're not. Even the church is not one nation under God in the United States of America." That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Break up your fallow ground is what he says. If you know what fallow ground is, would you raise your hand? There's about 20 people in here that know. Fallow ground. Many of you may know that I come from Prairie County, Arkansas, same city that Brother Doug comes from. But we were both farmers. We were both raised on farms. And fallow ground is a farming term. Fallow ground is simply ground which has been left set aside for a period of time, for a year or for a few years, for the land to rest and regenerate. That's what fallow ground is. We called it set aside ground. When I was growing up, we would have certain fields. We would rotate our crops. And at one time when I was a young man, we had a couple of thousand acres of rice and soybeans. And it was split up into several different fields. And we would, every few years, we would set aside particular fields and give the field, the ground, a year of rest. And it would make it more productive. And in the book of Hosea here, he writes, "Break up your fallow ground." And then in verse 12, he says, "It is time to seek the Lord." Why does he say it is time to seek the Lord? Well, in verse 13, he said, "Because you have cultivated wickedness." So we are to break up our fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord because we have cultivated wickedness. Vance Havner once wrote this, and I love this. Perhaps you've heard it. He said, "When I see a bird that looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, has webbed feet like a duck, paddles in the water like a duck, prefers the company of ducks, it is hard for me to resist the conclusion that it must be a duck. When I see a Christian that looks like the world, talks like the world, walks like the world, goes to places the world goes, and prefers the company of the world, it is hard for me to resist the conclusion that they are of the world." And we are a nation of Christians who are looking pretty ducky, if you know what I mean. He says in verse 13, you are harvesting a thriving crop of sins. You are harvesting a crop of sins. So there are a couple of different types of sins, right? There are sins of omission. There are sins of commission. There are sins that we don't do, and that is sin because we don't do them. Sins of omission. Let me give you some examples. Ingratitude. See if any of these fit in your life. Lack of love for God. Neglect of the Bible. Unbelief. Neglect of prayer. Making excuses regarding the things of God. Lack of love for souls. Lack of care for the lost. Neglect of family duties. Neglect of watchfulness over your own life. Neglect of watch over your brethren. And neglect of self-denial. These are a few examples of sins of omission. Things that we tend to not do, which are in fact sinful. But there are also sins of commission. Here's some examples. Worldly mindedness, calling what God calls sin a choice, pride, envy, a bitter spirit, harboring a grudge, slander and gossip, levity or making lightheartedness of God, lying, cheating, hypocrisy, robbing God, temper, and hindering others from being useful. Sins of omission, sins of commission. He says in verse 13 that we are harvesting a crop of sins. Over a chapter in chapter 11, verse number 7 of the book of Hosea, he wrote this, "My people are bent on turning away from me, and though they call out to the Most High, He shall not raise them up at all." We are a people that are bent on turning away from God. And I'm not talking about out there. I'm not talking about the rest of the world. You expect sinners to act sinfully. We are called to be saints. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west. And yet we are turning away from God in droves. Our churches have become pop psychology 20-minute drive-through sermons. There's no conviction. There's no calling sin what it is. And we wonder why God doesn't bless America. It's no wonder. He also says in verse 13, he says, "You have eaten the fruit of lies." That's interesting, isn't it? You have eaten the fruit of lies. I've heard it said this, "Nothing is settled until it is settled right, and nothing is settled right until it is settled with God." People who hold on to sin and selfishness and say they have a peace about it are lying. They are lying. If you are in this church house this morning and you are living a way that is apart from the Lord, and you say you have a peace about the situation that you are living in, you are lying. Because you cannot, a son or a daughter of God, a Christian, cannot live a sinful lifestyle and have a peace about it. It's not possible. Because the Spirit of God indwells us on the inside. And His Spirit strives with our spirit to point us in the right direction and to cause us to turn our way toward the way of God. He says in verse 13, he says, "You have trusted in yourself and trusted in your own power." I love this passage partially because it is a farming passage. It is a farming example. And farmers have a very unique relationship with God. If you haven't come from a farming background, you may not have thought about this. But the weather, which only God controls, has a profound effect on a farmer's livelihood. Remember I told you at one time we had a couple of thousand acres when I was a kid. It was a lot of work. My dad was one of the big farmers in our area. And we were doing okay. We were doing pretty well. And then one year there was a drought. And we lost everything. We lost it all. They came and repossessed our tractors. They came and got our farmland. They came and got everything. We lost everything. Sowing, growing, reaping are all contingent on God's hand. They're all contingent on the weather. They're all contingent on God's hand. Hosea writes here, "It is time to seek the Lord." He says He is ready to rain righteousness upon you in verse 12. When you set aside ground into fallow ground and set it aside as fallow ground, when the rain falls on fallow ground, it does little to no good. All it really grows is weeds. If you want to plant, if you want to grow a good harvest, a bountiful harvest, you have to sow your seed. If ground is fallow, it doesn't grow anything. It does rest. It does replenish the nutrients, but it doesn't grow anything except weeds. And He says we are to sow the seed of righteousness. Let me tell you something. You can always discern someone's vertical relationship. You understand what this means? By their horizontal relationships. We are to sow the seed of righteousness. If you ask me, Brother Michael, how do I know if someone's relationship with God is right? Look at their relationship with others. That's a pretty big indicator. Because you can always tell what's going on in their heart. If your relationship with others is good, this relationship with God is probably going the right direction. It may not be perfect because none of us are perfect, but it's probably going the right direction. If your relationship with others is in the toilet, your relationship with God is no doubt in the toilet. It just is. John said, you cannot love God and hate your brother. It's not possible. He said, God wants to send rain of righteousness on you. And God will send the rain when He's ready, but we must prepare our fields to receive it. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, Peter said this. He said, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that a time of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord. So we are to repent and turn back that God may send His refreshing to us. Who needs to feel the Spirit of refreshing? Would you raise your hand? It's been a crazy year or so. And I don't see this year getting much better. Not if you're looking externally. Which is why this sermon kind of hit me this morning. I think we've got to break up our fallow ground of our hearts. We have to get our hearts in the right place because we spent so much time focusing on the external that we've let the internal go. And I think we're seeing evidences of that around us. So we have to sow our seed. And He said if we sow our seed, we will reap mercy or we will reap steadfast love. You reap what you sow. Amen? In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, he writes, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. We reap what we sow. If we sow frustration and anger and discontentedness, what are we going to reap? If you surround yourself with conversations of how things are wrong and how bad things are, you're going to reap those exact same things. But on the flip side of that, because there is a flip side, if you sow the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, what are you going to reap? Maybe not initially, maybe not at first. Is it hard to sow the fruit of the Spirit in the culture that we live? Well, yes it is, which is why it's all the more needed. It is needed for us, for we as believers in Christ, who understand what the back of this book says. We know what it says. We know where we're going. We know what God's going to do. We don't understand why He's doing it this way. It doesn't make sense. But we're not God. So we just trust Him. This world needs us to sow the fruit of the Spirit. They need to hear some positive. They need to hear some love and some joy and some peace, some forgiveness, some patience, some kindness. This morning, Brother Bruce taught my Sunday school class so that I could focus on preaching this morning, and I'm so thankful for that. But he talked about that. He talked about praying for our political leaders. The fact that we need to be doing that. Because God can turn the heart of any king. God can turn the heart of any leader. You say, not if that heart doesn't know God. Oh, yes, He can. God can turn the heart of anyone. He's done it throughout the Bible. When it's His time. And He will send His reign of righteousness and His time of refreshing on us when He is ready. But we will not reap if we haven't prepared our soil. If you let ground lay fallow for a long time, my dad on the farm, he still has about 120 acres. And when he and Mom went to church camp to work at Bud Creek and run that camp, he mostly let the land just let it go. He quit farming because he was at church camp. And over a period of 20 years, trees have grown up. It's a forest. And not really good trees. There are these, I don't even know what the things are called. They have thorns about this long and they spread like wildfire. What are those called? Huh? Yeah, whatever you just said. They're everywhere. Okay, amen. They're everywhere. The ground has laid fallow and these weeds, it started the first couple years just weeds, and now there's all these thorn trees everywhere. I go home to go deer hunting. It's something special for me and Dad to do together. I love spending that time with him. But I go home to go deer hunting and I killed a deer and that deer ran off into that. I had to ask, Lord, is it really worth it? Is it worth it? Because dragging that rascal out of there, oh my goodness, I thought I was going to not make it. We will not reap if we have not prepared our soil. We will not reap if we have not sown. Have you been wondering lately why it doesn't seem that God is blessing us? Have you wondered recently why you don't seem to be hearing from God in your situation in our nation? Let me give you another quote from that book, The Power of Surrender. God cannot speak to us as spiritual people because we aren't. Our churches are filled with people who do not have a biblical worldview. They are gray in areas where the Word is black and white. They stutter and shrink when they should be standing tall. I think that's accurate. I think that's accurate. What is the point to all this that I'm saying this morning? There is a time for ground to lay fallow. There is a time for rest and rejuvenation. And in case you missed it, God gave you a year. Okay? He gave us a year. That time is not now. The time is over. The time to lay fallow has come to an end. Church, it is time we get up and do something. It is time we go out into our community and do something, that we try to make an impact for the Lord. You can make an impact in wearing a mask. You can make an impact social distanced. But you need to make an impact for the Lord wherever God has planted you. The time to be fallow is over. We must break up the ground, the fallow ground of our hearts. Our hearts have been left unattended, sitting fallow, and drying out for far too long. It's time to prepare for rain. It's time to prepare for rain. How do we do that? You have to let the Word of God do its work in you. It isn't always pleasant, but it is needed. We have to let the Word of God do its work in us, and then what we pour into us needs to come out. Now, if you pour enough, if you have a cup sitting up here, a coffee cup, because that sounds really good right now, and it's sitting right here, and you have a coffee pot, and you pour a little bit of coffee in there, what's going to happen to it if you don't touch it? It's going to sit there, and it's going to get cold. But if you keep pouring more coffee into it, what's going to happen? Eventually, that cup's going to fill up. And then what's going to happen? It's going to start to run all over the place. And it's going to make a big mess. But it's coffee, so it's a good mess. We need to let the Word of God fill us. And we need to become so filled with the Word of God that it runs out. And we make a big, glorious mess for the Lord everywhere we are, wherever we are sitting, wherever we are planted. When was the last time that God disturbed you? When was the last time that God disturbed you? That God did something that was outside of your pre-planned schedule? The Word of God will either harden you or soften you, depending on whether you allow the plow of conviction to break your heart. So when was the last time that you allowed that to happen? Oftentimes after a rousing sermon, not one I preach, but one Brother Doug preaches, I hear people say to him, "Oh, that really stepped on my toes, preacher." You know what? Sometimes it's good for our toes to be stepped on, right? Sometimes we need to have our toes stepped on so that it can straighten us, we can be straightened out. Let me give you a wonderful example of this. So a couple of years ago, Jackie and I, we bought a place up north of town so she could have chickens. Y'all have heard that story. My wife's always wanted chickens. They're useless right now. We're not getting hardly any eggs. But anyway, she has her chickens, and I'm very thankful for that. When we bought this house, it had a lot of damage inside. There were termite damage in the kitchen. We basically had to completely gut the kitchen and then jack up the floors and redo it all. But what we decided for flooring in the kitchen, we were going to lay down a waterproof laminate flooring. And if you've ever done that, there's an underlayment that goes down before the laminate goes down. It's this foam underlayment stuff. So we go to this store, Floor and Decor, in Memphis. If you're ever looking for flooring, they have all kinds of things. So we picked out the flooring that we liked, and the guy said, "Well, you're going to need an underlayment." And so he said, "It comes in these rolls. You'll need four rolls of this stuff." And so we got these big rolls of this underlayment. And we go home, and Jackie and I had never done this before. We'd never laid down underlayment. We'd never laid down this type of flooring before. And those rolls of underlayment had been rolled up for a long time. And I felt, when we first started out, I felt a bit like we were in a Laurel and Hardy sketch, if you know who they are. I put the roll down and I rolled it out and I would walk and it just rolled right up behind me. And so I rolled it out I was getting very frustrated. And I finally told my wife, "Okay, look, honey, here's what I need you to do. I'm going to put it, stand on it, and I'm going to roll it." And so I'm rolling it and she's standing on it. And then we got to the end and she said, "Now what?" I said, "Well, we got to do something or it won't stay like this." I said, "Let's flip it over." So we flipped it over. And then we stomped on it a little bit. And then we flattened it out. And then once you get it rolled out, stomped on and flipped over, then there's this peel and stick stuff. You have to rip that off. Rip. And then you stick it to the next piece after you stomp it and roll it and flip it. And then once you begin to do that, it all goes together. And it makes an underlayment for your flooring. You say, "Brother Michael, that's a silly story." Well, maybe. But often, as Christians, we need to be stepped on, straightened out, and flipped over with our hearts torn before we can be used by God. And when that happens, if we are then stuck together with another believer who is being used by God, we become useful. Just like that underlayment. Rolled out, stretched out, flipped over, stepped on, hearts torn, stuck together. Somebody has to be the first piece. Are you willing this morning to be the first piece? To be rolled out, flipped over, stepped on, to become useful for your God? The longer our hearts lay fallow, the harder it is to do anything with them. If my father right now, after 20 years of laying that farmland lay fallow, after 20 years of that, if he went out there with a plow, all he's going to do is run into trees. It would be next to impossible for him to use that land. He would have to completely clear cut it and then dig up all the stumps and then begin to plow. But if your heart has only been laid fallow for a little while, the plow of God's conviction can still get in there and do something. In Joel chapter 2, Joel wrote this, "Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning, and tear your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He relents over disaster." We have to let God break our hearts and move in our lives if we're going to do something for Him. And the time of sitting is over. The time of sitting is over. It's time we come back to church. I'm not talking to those who shouldn't. I understand COVID is real. I get that. But I fear there are so many of us who have just become lazy in our faith. But even those of us who are here, we become lazy in our faith because we use an excuse. Well, I'm not supposed to go talk to anybody. Well, I'm not supposed to get close to anybody. Well, I'm not supposed... Oh, bull on you. Satan has used that long enough. It's time to take our faith back. It's time to take our faith back. Perhaps you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. None of this makes sense because you have never trusted in Christ. You are not a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. Let me tell you something. God loved the whole world so much that He sent His only Son. And He said, whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you are here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, may today be your spiritual birthday. It's very simple. All you have to do is bow your head with an open heart, cry out to God, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong. I know I've sinned against you. Forgive me. I want you to be the Lord of my life. God, please come into my heart and save me. You'll do it. Just like that. If today is that day for you, as we stand and sing, would you all stand? We stand. Would you say that prayer? Would you come to this altar? If you have questions, would you come to this altar? The church, for those of you who are here this morning and your hearts have become cold and calloused, the ground of your heart is fallow and it has gotten hard. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God break up your fallow ground and move and change you so that you may be a better servant for Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You so much for the opportunity to be here this morning to praise Your name through song, Father, to praise Your name through listening to Your Word taught and listening to Your Word preached. Father, I pray that Your Spirit would move during this invitation. May You have Your will and way in each life here today. Father, we thank You so much for Jesus Christ. We thank You for the salvation that is freely offered in His name if we will only believe. Father, may today Your will be done this time. In Jesus' name.